Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. It's the place for everything you want to know to grow your cleaning company. If you're committed to growing your cleaning company, you can go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com and get all of my absolute best stuff for owners who want to get more out of their cleaning companies and out of their lives. Today, we are talking with Anthony Fisher from Anthony's Janitorial Maintenance Services. Anthony's Janitorial serves the Long Island area, both with commercial and residential services. If you want to reach out to Anthony and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.anthonysjanitorialmaintenance.com. Anthony, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. I'm Anthony Fisher.
I love the intro, my friend. So tell us about yourself. You're in Long Island. Are you married, guys, single? You got kids? What's going on in the life of Anthony Fisher?
Okay. I'm actually in Long Island City, Queens.
Oh, Queens.
Which is, yes, which is located in Astoria, the 1110 area code. I'm a father of three. You know, I have two daughters, one son. I've been in the cleaning business now since 2010 when I first opened my doors. But I've actually been in the cleaning business since I was 16 years old when my uncle first started taking me out and doing cleaning with him. From that, you know, I learned how to service contracts such as floor stripping, mopping, waxing, buffing, doing office cleaning and that sort of nature. In 2010, I decided to open my own company after I worked for several construction companies in that field as a laborer, during which time I learned that in order to be successful, you needed to do things for yourself and be successful in that order. So I decided to open up Anthony's Janitorial Maintenance Service, which was in June of 2010. And from June of 2010 to now 16, I figure I've been in this cleaning industry now for 6 years going strong.
Awesome. So do you do the work yourself? Do you have some employees where you do only some of the work? Or are you in a place where you're able to just manage the company and grow the business?
Well, I've done most of the majority of the work myself. And around 2011, 2012, I was first started to able to open up doors where I was able to hire one and two different employees. By the time I got to where I'm at in 2016, I had a staff of 12 employees that I was able to work fully functional and give them full-time jobs. Right now, we're doing residential cleaning, we're doing commercial cleaning, we're doing restaurant cleaning and stuff like that. And we've been, you know, practically growing, but, you know, it's a hard industry and, you know, this is where we're at right now.
Okay. So you're still sitting around a dozen employees?
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
No problem. Are you still sitting around a dozen employees at Anthony's Janitorial?
Yes, we're still out there contracting, doing work, still trying to grow our business. We're getting more and more contracts. And, you know, we're looking just to make 2016 an awesome year.
Yeah. What are your, before we get into growing, what are your goals for 2016? What are you looking to achieve this year?
Well, 2016, I'm definitely looking to grow my company to about maybe, let's say, about $1 million worth of contracts coming in through the door. I mean, it's not something that's not possible, you know, being the fact that I've actually been out there and I've seen, you know, how these contracts come in. But that's why I'm definitely looking just to grow my contracts and, you know, employ and show a lot of minorities that owning your company and the hard work that you put in can be successful.
All right. Awesome, man. That is an exciting goal. And good goals like that are the first thing you need to get your employees and your customers and your vendors all behind you. When you've got kind of a big goal like that, I think it rallies people and gets them fired up. I'm fired up. That said, how can I help you today, man? What little piece can I contribute to help you hit that $1 million revenue in 2016?
Well, for instance, like, you know, as I said, I'm a minority certified company. And right now I'm looking into gathering some of these contracts that are out there for minorities that's posed for minority business given through the city. I don't have too many people that are, as I can say, diverse in that field where we can actually go out and contract and have what we need in order to make the contracts, you know, attainable for us. I'm looking for help in that division where I can have someone actually guide us through the process to show us the best way to go ahead and obtain these contracts.
All right, perfect. I'm really glad that you brought that up because I get that, gosh, probably 20 to 35% of the folks that I talk to or coach personally want to know about that. How do I get these government contracts for women-owned or minority-owned or certified small business or all these designations and certifications? They want to know how to do that specifically. And the remainder that don't want to know that specifically would probably say, yeah, I've thought about that. I've wondered about that. I kind of want that. You know, I haven't got to it because I'm afraid of it. So I think it's something that Cleaning Nation will be very interested in. So I'm glad to jump on that for you. So before, like I generally do, I'm going to give you a 30,000 foot kind of foundational conceptual view first, and then we'll jump into some tactical answers to your questions. Does that sound fair?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So I'm going to back it up a little bit. And the first thing where we always have to start is who is your target customer? So right now I heard you say you do residential and commercial. I think you said restaurants and you kind of gave some example, but I haven't heard any government work. So here's what I don't like about those government certifications. I don't want to say they're misleading, but a lot of people get, I don't want to say confused, but a lot of people run down a rabbit trail that just sucks a lot of time and money and doesn't get them a return. So I think what a lot of people hear or think about certifications or government contracts is, oh, if I get this designation or that designation or a bunch of, you know, I'm a Native American, female, lesbian, what, you know, whatever designations they got, if I can get enough of them, I get the contracts. But that's really not the case. So the first and foremost step is you got to identify your target customer. I've done, and just for total transparency, Anthony and Cleaning Nation, I've done a lot of contract government work, but not in cleaning. But again, I've dealt with cities, I've dealt with counties, I've dealt with states, I've dealt with, I think I've had a couple federal government contracts. So I know how all that works. And it's funny, it's the same thing as regular customers. What you've got to do is find out what they really want, what their real pain is, and what their real passion is. So a lot of times with regular customers, we'll go to them and go, you know, because I'll coach my people. You got to find out what they really want. Because if you try and sell, you know, I'm a green company, or I clean better than everybody else, or I'm the cheapest, that's what all your competitors are saying, and it's not going to work for you. And it's not really what they want. The problem is if you go ask your customer what they want, they're going to tell you, I want the most service for the least money. But that's not really what they want. They really want a problem solved or their life to be better somehow. So if they're, and I promise we're going to get to government contracts, Anthony, I haven't forgot. So if they are a property manager, they say they want the cheapest price and the most cleaning, but what they really want is high occupancy and happy customers and their boss to think they're doing a good job. See how that's different than I want this toilet clean for as cheap as possible?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Cool. So when you start having that conversation about what they really truly want and how to solve their problem, if you're going in, Anthony, and we're going to use property managers, and I promise we're going to get to government contracts, but just property managers, if you go to a property manager and say, oh my gosh, you've got 100,000 square feet, I can clean that for, you know, 60 cents a square or whatever the case may be, and blah, 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 blah. You have no chance against me because I'm going to talk about, gosh, what's your occupancy rate? 84%? Where you want to be at 90%? How does that affect your life? Do you get any sort of bonus? Oh, wow, that really changes your pay schedule. Well, what can I do as a partner in facilities management to make sure that you hit your goals? How can we make you, Mr. Customer, happier, change your life? And you have no chance competing against me when you're having conversations of, well, that toilet costs this much and that, you know, this much vacuuming costs that much and this many square feet. And I'm talking about how to change his life. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely makes a lot of sense.
So the government version of that is, oh, we want the cheapest price and we'll give you, because really most of the time what happens is they'll one of two things. One, they'll only open it up to minorities or people that have X certification or Y certification, or more likely they give you a discount. So your bid's 5% cheaper than the other guy's bid, right? Like if you come in at $1,000 a month and the other guy's at $900 a month, they're going to say, well, we're going to take 5% off your bid. Not they'll still pay you, but they're going to pretend like you bid 5% less or 10% less or whatever the case may be. The problem is those certifications are not easy to get. They're not easy to maintain. There's a lot of confusion around it because you're dealing with the freaking government, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get the bid. Oftentimes it really doesn't, because I promise you, the guy or gal or company that's got that contract now, A, they've got all the same certifications. B, that's all they do. They don't do residential. They don't do restaurants. They don't do whatever. That's what they do. And they really know what the government people want. And I'll tell you what the government people want. They want you to play by their stupid rules. They write up contracts that are very complex and don't make any sense. And they have seemingly random, you know, requirements in terms of insurance or this or that. And that's what they want. They want you to understand their rules really, really well and play perfectly by them. That's what they really want. So sure, those certifications help. But what you really need to do is be an expert in who's the procurement officer, how does he pay, what's his budget, who are the decision makers, how often do they go out to bid, what is the contract? There's a lot of nuance in there. Now, that's not to say you can't do it, but it is to say you don't want to do it as, well, I do, you know, 20% of my time goes to government, 20% goes to residential, 20% goes to bowling alleys, 20% goes to red, and on and on, right? You've got to be that guy. So that's why it's so important, first and foremost, before you even fool with any of these designations, because guess what? If you go to a local car dealership to clean their building, they don't give two rat's asses about you being a minority or this or that or the other, right? The only people that care are the government. So if the government's only 20% of your business, they're too much of a pain in the neck. You can't even figure out their system to make it worth your time unless you say, that's all I'm going to do. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, because as you were saying that, that is one of the stumbling blocks that I am faced with. It's like, you know, if you don't know who the key makers are, you can't get in there. And that's exactly what the problem is today with that.
Yeah, and so this is advice. Now, there's some of the stuff I say is just right or wrong. This is truth, and a lot of what I've said is the case. You need to know your niche. That's just the truth. It's not my opinion. It's just a business fact. Now I'm going into opinion. The recommendation I give you, Anthony, at this time, again, I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, but right now it's February 2016. There's plenty of non-government money out there. When I got into government money, I was in construction. We did a lot of residential, and then that was right when the economy crashed. So then we moved to commercial because it had crashed about 2 years later. And then when that crashed, we moved into government because that's the only place that there was money. And we made millions in the government, and you can do it, but I never did all three at once. We would have drowned trying to do all three at once. So the good thing is the economy right now ain't bad. Commercial cleaning, residential cleaning is up. Time is at a premium. People will do anything. Really, what we're in the business of, the cleaning company, is buying people's time from them and then selling it back to them, right? We're really saving them time and headache and effort. The government could hire their own people and deal with their own crap and yada, yada, yada. They don't want to fool with any of that. So they're going to pay you to take that headache. The housewife at home could clean after working, you know, working an 8-hour day and having three kids that she's got to feed and her husband that wants, you know, to talk or whatever, or she could pay you. So we're really selling their time. Good news is it's a great time to be in the commercial or the janitorial space or the commercial cleaning or even the residential space. So I wouldn't technically go to government because there's so much money elsewhere where you don't have to play by all these rules and do all this dance. That said, if you really want to go to government, my kind of advice or feedback would be that's all you're going to do. That's your full-time job. And it might take a year to 18 months to know the right people, know the different governments, right? If you're in New York, there's city, there's county, there's different cities that might be close enough that you could work with. There's state government. There's just so many municipalities out there and they all have different things. So it's going to take a year or two for you really to own that space. So I just want to either free you to say, don't dabble in it, right? If you're like, oh, I'll just try it and see how it works, don't. Don't even waste your time. You're not going to get it. Don't get the designations. Don't be minority certified. Don't do any of that crap. It's not going to get you a return. If you decide, no, I want to be in government, that's my deal, then stop fooling with anything else. Commit a year to 24 months to just knowing that system inside and out. And if that's all you do, you can be in that government deal. It's just, it's a competitive environment. Does that answer your question tactically and conceptually?
That answers my question generally in every aspect of the manner that you just gave me, because that was something that I really needed to focus on. And you're right. That shouldn't be a focus on entirely unless I'm planning on where I've grown my industry already. And this is something that I can actually dedicate my rest of my time to in doing, which is a point. But yeah, focusing on something that will definitely help me rise would be property management.
Yeah, and I'm a huge fan of property management. And I think that's what a lot of my clients I coach, both on air and off air, get to is they've got 17 good ideas and they're all legitimate, or maybe of those 17, 12 of them are good ideas. So five, I help them go, no, these don't even chase these. These are just bad ideas. The problem is of those 12 ideas that are good ideas, they can't do 12. Maybe they can do two. If they're really good, they can do three, but they certainly can't do 4, 5 through 12, right? So the problem is 12 rockstar ideas, the best ideas that you could possibly do, are always going to perform far below one average idea that's all you do, right? Like if you said, I don't think government's great for you from what you've told me, but say that that's what you're going to do and that's all you did and you put all your focus and time into it, a year or two from now, I think you'd be doing very well compared to saying, well, I'm going to be really good at property managers and really good at high-end residential and really good at retired people residential. And you had six other ideas that were amazing, but you're trying to do them all at once. You're just going to get far inferior results. So I really think step one is to figure out your top one or two, ideally one to start, perfect customer is, and then just own that customer. Know when I'm trying to bid again, you know, let's use a car deal. I owned a car dealership, so we'll use a car dealership. When I'm trying to bid against you and I'm telling the car guy, listen, it'll take my guy 6 hours a day and it's going to be $1,800 a month and we can start, you know, in a week. And you're going, now hold on, this detail area, do you guys clean that up now? How much time, how many more cars could you get out if this was cleaned every morning for you? What if I had a day porter out and he came in the middle of the day? Would that help you get more cars? How would that change your bottom line? What about your service department? I notice it's a little dirty. What's your hourly rate? $70? Well, shoot, I think if we had this thing crystal clean and we got your guys outfitted in white jackets that were perfectly clean and I can get that set up for you on a monthly basis, we could get your billing rate to $110 an hour. How many hours do you see how, if you're having that conversation and I'm having the other conversation, I have no chance. There's no damn way I'm going to get that contract. There's no way you're not going to. But the only way you can have that conversation is if you know car dealers better than anybody else in town. So you're the only guy that even knows all those kind of tricks and back end stuff I said, because that's all you deal with is car dealers. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Cool. And that's the way it is in the cleaning industry.
That's exactly the way it is in every industry, brother. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, because I figure like back to property management, if I'm going in there and I'm showing them, you know, what I'm worth or what my company can do, what's to say, you know, what makes you stand out from the rest? And that's the problem that, you know, most cleaning companies have is like, you know, sometimes the low bids get the job and it's not the best quality cleaning that they're looking for, but it's just the fact that you low bid it on something, they usually go with the lower bid.
Well, and even equally frustrating is sometimes you are the low bid and they go with a higher bid because the higher bid spoke to what they really need. They said they wanted price and you kind of hoard yourself out and cut your margin to nothing and gave them price. And they still took a higher bid because that guy or gal or company understood what they really wanted. So that, just so you know, that low bid knife cuts both ways. And just so you guys know, what you kind of touched on, Anthony, is a unique selling proposition, which is a whole other thing. Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. There's a webinar up there as of now. I'm sure it'll be up there for at least a couple months. That's awesome. That talks about unique selling proposition, how to do that properly and how that is such a crucial piece to set yourself apart. So that said, Anthony, my long, you kind of got the feedback on the government. My short answer would be really spend some time figuring out your niche. If it's going to be property managers, jump into a sub niche within that. Is it property managers that manage medical space or office space, or it's just one solo property manager that you're helping, or a property manager with a minimum of 5 property managers? You know what I'm saying? Are they usually class A office space? So even within property management, there's still niches within that. And your area is so big and $1 million are so easy to get, I'd even niche it down further than that, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Okay, cool.
That makes a lot of sense.
I have blathered on enough about all the good questions that you asked, brother. We're going to hit the lightning round and give you a chance to give back to Cleaning Nation. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever received, sir?
The best piece of advice that I ever received was to always make sure that your customers are always satisfied. Never leave a customer unsatisfied and always ask questions.
That is great advice and kind of talks about what we talk about, right? Instead of telling them we do this and that, you figure out what do you guys need to truly be satisfied? How can I really change your life? And when you do that, you're golden. All right, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that maybe myself and Cleaning Nation can learn from?
The biggest mistake I ever learned in the cleaning industry was giving more responsibility than actually should have been, and not being more mindful and attentive to certain aspects of the field.
Okay, so giving, like, you had an employee that you gave too much responsibility to, that he or she wasn't ready?
Yes. Okay. And that way I was trying to actually put more on them than they actually was able to handle.
Very insightful, Anthony. I think myself, sounds like you, and I'm sure Cleaning Nation has done that, where I really need this thing to be done, so I'm going to ask you to do it, even though in my heart of hearts, I know that you're not capable or ready or the right person, but I just desperately need it done, and you're available, and you said yes. And it's such a compelling, I don't want to say lie, but such a compelling fantasy. We've all fallen for that. So thank you for pointing that out. That's really good feedback. All right, last question. What's one idea owners of cleaning companies can put in practice today, right now, before they go to bed, to help improve their lives or their business?
Actually learning your niche. Learning what really works, what that you really need to do.
Obviously, I couldn't agree more. I feel like I'm beating that drum all day long. It's so nice to hear you say it as a bright entrepreneur out there, Anthony. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate the fact that you shared your passion, your desire to grow, your goals. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Like I said, if you want to check out Anthony's show notes page, as well as the webinar, and really get everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company, you can do it at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. We've also got a Facebook group you can join. Check us out on YouTube, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, any of those places, leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks, and I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.